finally get to do this with you, and I'm very interested, as are others, in patent wines. So when did you develop this brand?
Actually, the brand had been developed prior. It was just named within the last 2 years or so. But Tom and I, you know, had made little side projects before, and we had actually started off as another name, but we had since settled on patent for reasons I probably shouldn't talk about, you know, but, you know, there's
infringement comes up,
things like that. So we settled on patent because most everything else was trademarked, and Tom has a patentable style.
Excellent. And of course, we're speaking about Tom Rinaldi.
Yes.
Your partner.
Yes.
So how do you go about and determine who you want to partner with? And I understand, but I would love to learn your perspective on why Tom.
Well, in this valley, it's all about relationships and who you know. And Tom and I have worked together for over a decade on another wine project. And just natural extension, I mean, our palates are very similar. Our tastes are the same. You know, when it comes to basically what comes out in the bottle, and Tom's the master, he does everything by taste. And it's just works out very, very well.
So do you have a vision for patent of kind of winemaking style you want to have? What is coming across in the bottle? Longevity and ageability, or just impeccable vineyard sources, or all of the above?
Well, all of the above. I mean, it's basically each vintage is different.
Okay.
And we focus on Sauvignon Blanc and Cabernet Sauvignon, which Tom is the master. He's a maestro with this fruit.
Is he right there with maestro?
Because we have a train.
That wine train we were just talking about.
Yep.
He doesn't hunt much. Let's power through. So he's the maestro.
So Tom's really the maestro. He's been doing this for, this will be like his 47th harvest, and he knows his way around with one hand tied around behind his back and one and blindfolded for that matter there. But the Sauvignon Blanc that comes out in our patent wines that's currently under release, and our Cabernet that's coming out this fall, it's just classic Sauvignon Blanc, classic Cabernet Sauvignon, and it's great value.
Let's drill down in the classic Sauvignon Blanc, because there's a lot of belief out there that classic Sauvignon Blanc is New Zealand in style.
Yeah. Well, ours is definitely not New Zealand in style.
Right.
But it's also not quite California, a little bit more leaning towards French. What Tom does is he uses French Bordeaux methodology.
Okay.
And those kind of techniques that he grew up with, you know, learning at UC Davis and over his 47 years of making wine. So, I mean, we use French oak in all of our programs here. So it's not going to taste like a traditional green grassy note on a Sauvignon Blanc.
Right.
We've got, you know, French oak on it there, so it's got a little bit bigger mouthfeel on it there. So it's non-traditional California.
And vineyard selection, who decides that?
That's Tom through and through. I mean, once again, relationship building. I mean, Tom goes way back with a lot of these landowners here and vineyard managers. And once you know and work with these people year in, decade out,
right,
you know where you want to be.
Exactly. And so what is total case production?
Our total case production will probably be about 1,500 cases this year and closer to 2,000 next year.
And is there an end goal in mind where you want to get to as far as case production? Or
no, just keep it manageable.
Okay.
I mean, we let the vineyard, and Tom lets the vineyard dictate, you know, what we do and how much we really make.
So right now I'm tasting the SB and it's spectacular. Mm-hmm. How would people come out and taste with you?
Give me a call on the phone, old school. Call me on the phone. So, you know, I do respond to texts and emails naturally, but it's just Tom and myself. So
awesome.
Pick up the phone.
And speaking of Tom, we should probably bring him in here and learn a little bit about the winemaking.
That'd be great.
Awesome. Cheers.
Yeah.
So finally, good to see you. And I'm thrilled with the project that you and Eric are working on. And Eric talks about you being the maestro, and I think that's understated. I mean, 47 vintages.
Yes. The nice thing is the first vintage is, it's not like being born. You're born at zero. But with wine, your first vintage is year one.
And every vintage is different.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of it. We really don't know what we're in for each year. And they're different every time. I also have a degree in malting and brewing. And that's the same thing every day.
Okay.
With wine, it's a yearly thing. And it's my job, really, is to make a consistent characteristic in the wine that we call it a familiarity of the style, and that's what I've been working on for all those years.
Working, not perfecting, still in training.
In training, still. Yeah, I'm confident, but I'm not cocky. I'll say that
right.
much. And that's something that I instill in anybody who are mentors for me, particularly women who are just quite often are just, they get frustrated by some of the management, if you will, but they have the style, they have the characteristic, they know what they're doing. So I try to build up confidence in them, and that's important. And we have the product, and it's something that speaks for itself to me. And I love to speak for it, but I love the wines speaking for themselves as well.
When you mentioned a specific characteristic that you're after stylistically, and as it relates to patent, does that characteristic lend itself or manifest more from the vineyard selection, the varietal, clone, barrel? Walk us through kind of how you weave all that together.
They're all of the above, but if you start out with something that isn't, let's say the grapes are from a badly managed vineyard or a misplaced vineyard, then you're in trouble.
Right
from the beginning. So you have to start with quality fruit. That's the crucial part. And also picking decisions as to when are you going to bring that fruit in, that's crucial. And then also we're very careful about sorting, hand sorting through, there's some raisins, get those out of there, you know, this sort of a thing, mm-hmm. that are crucial in the initial product. And I have good relationship with the coopers.
Okay.
And I've been around the world for, you know, being with in the forests and being with the manufacturers, and they know my style. So it's wonderful. They'll say, you know, the kind of toast level that I want to have, the, how many years that the wood ages, and typically three, and sometimes four, but also the, you know, the just the flavor characteristics,
right.
of the wood are crucial, and I have a style that just follows me, if you will.
I like it. And the particular vineyards for the Sauvignon Blanc and the Cabernet Sauvignon, talk to me about your decision to use those vineyards.
Well, the vineyards are Napa Valley, we get some warm to hot days. If
yep.
it gets over 90 degrees, these vines just go to sleep. They're not producing the sugars any longer. They're not photosynthesizing. But at night, if you're out here at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, it's kind of cool. And sometimes fog's rolling in. So it's ideal for Sauvignon Blanc in particular. I just love it here in Napa Valley. I did have the experience in New Zealand where we did a cycle trip there, and I love the Pinot Noirs, but the Sauvignon Blancs, they just didn't get enough heat.
Mm.
And the heat is important. The heat and the sunlight, and so they're reduced. They didn't have that kind of rich, I say citrus. There's mineral, all sorts of characteristics that are in the wine that are just delightful, if you will. They're fruity. They're
refreshing,
not,
too.
And I mean, refreshing, and they're not bumping you on the head with anything. They're just a characteristic that you get in the aroma, and it carries through to the finish, and that's crucial.
And where is this particular vineyard?
We are in Yountville, and in the southern part of Yountville, basically in the center of Yountville.
And the Cabernet?
Cabernet is typically a little more to the north, the Rutherford area.
Mm-hmm.
We love the Rutherford area, or Oak Knoll, which is a little further south and toward Napa.
Okay.
And more exposure, if you will. This one, we'll have the trees and the hills in the evening and the afternoons, but this one in Oak Knoll is much more exposed.
So this is your 47th vintage. What would 47 vintages under his belt Tom tell first vintage Tom?
Better luck next year, I have to say. There's some luck involved, but I have had some wonderful mentors along the way, and that's a crucial aspect of it. I had all the knowledge, the scientific knowledge, but again, I didn't have the confidence in the beginning. I didn't have the experience either. So it was a relatively quiet start, if you will. But I did a lot of listening, and that was crucial. I think that was crucial My first vintage for Duckhorn was 1978, and the winery didn't exist at the time. So it was the first vintage period, and I didn't really have anybody to turn to tell me what to do. So basically, I got from my friends who were mentors. They said, Tom, you know what you're doing. If you run into trouble, just get a hold of me, and then we'll go from there.
Outstanding.
So there was 1 year, and I think it was 1981, where I went in getting ready to pump over the red tank of Cabernet Sauvignon, and I'm looking down there, and I go, oh, my God. And so I call up Rick Foreman, who turned us on to Three Palms. If it wasn't for Rick, we would have never made a Three Palms. But he was a mentor, and I called him up, and I said, Rick, you got to help me here, man. And he goes, what is it? And I go, you'll see. So he comes down to the winery, and I take him up to the tank, open it up, and it's all mold. Looks like elephant wig. And he goes, oh, this smells just like Bordeaux. And I go, oh, come on, you know, and I'm ready to, send my resume to Argentina, you know. And he's going, no, this is fine. This is a mold that's an ideal mold, and it'll just go away. It's like yeast. Yeast is mold.
Right.
And he goes, that's what they get in Bordeaux. You know, it's a pretty moist vintage. And I really didn't believe him. But sure enough, it was a delightful wine. It was a beautiful wine. And I thanked him many times. I think I still thank him. It's 40-plus years later.
Well, it's interesting because you have classic winemaking technique, classic philosophical aspects in the winemaking, terrific vineyard sources, and still learning.
It's 50% science, and that's part. We're still getting developments of techniques of analyzing that are, we couldn't even have dreamed of this 25 years ago. So that's crucial. There's a half of it is scientific, and the other half is artistic. And you start to learn things from just paintings and from people and their descriptions and their maybe even complaints. You know, I always want to say, you know, what don't you like about this wine? You know, it's rare that I'll get a complaint. You know,
right.
I love to say I'm the complaint department, but nobody ever calls me. You know?
Yeah, the complaint department's out of business.
Yeah. So,
well, we are all the benefactors of your 47 years of being a student apprentice in this wonderful valley. So thank you for that.
My pleasure. And it's a beautiful wine. I'm very, very pleased to be a big part of it.
Awesome.